Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
I just want to say something just as the young people need to leave, and I understand that because I'd be totally whacked out if I was sitting at the conference 2 days. But I want to say that all I've heard, it's been very positive energy. What I heard about the user voice clearly states one thing. Never have a meeting about young people without young people. And if that message gets across everywhere, if that is the message, if that one thing gets across, not just in the youth justice framework, but if we want to talk about young people, make sure young people are in the room. So they actually, it's not just user voice of ex-offenders, but it's user voice everywhere. You know, I've sat around the Home Office roundtable on guns and gangs, and I've been around for quite a while, and quite often I hear people talk about those who aren't present. And we can't do that anymore. What clearly this conference has illustrated, and I salute the Youth Justice Board for making the decision they did. Because this was from last year, you guys made a decision that what will happen this year is that young people will get their voice heard, and you made that happen. So let's salute and, you know, congratulate the Youth Justice Board for making that decision, and I'm obviously a very successful conference. So applaud yourselves, please. Now, one of the big things I want to say just as I wrap up is, because I just want to go for 5 minutes. I really don't want to speak for long at all. I realize everybody needs to start heading home, and I've already seen some folks, as I was coming in, kind of taking their stuff in. I want to say, okay, bye, see you later. You're not going to hear what I got to say. But one thing that struck me before I came was the notion of belief in me. What people want is a belief in themselves. I had the challenging opportunity of employing somebody who was an ex-offender who many of you would know. He might have had challenges as a young lad. His name was Winston Silcott. And whilst Winston Silcott was in prison, I was approached by some folks to say, would I be willing to take Winston? Because I've heard some of the conversations around fear, around taking. And so the question was, would I be willing to employ Winston Silcott in my office whilst he was still in prison? My staff felt fear. Some of them said, because, you know, perception is more real than reality. And the media has a way of giving ex-offenders a perception of who they are. And most of you would hear the name Winston Silcott. Many of you may never have met him, but you've already got a perception because the media has painted him in a certain way. As often, the media paint young people in a certain way. Once the riots happened, we heard it was all young people. We heard it was all gangs. Then the more we looked into it and we started drilling down, oops, it's not all young people. Oops, it's not all gangs. You know, so quite often we find that we get the wrong perceptions. And that was the challenge with employing Winston, because a lot of folks had very negative stories about him. I had some in the statutory sector who warned me and said, if I employed him, I'll be the scum of their organization. I won't refer to that organization. No, why not? The police. Now, that was not the general view of all police officers, but I had some very senior police officers that detested me for making that decision, especially as I was a police chaplain. But yet I had some very senior police officers who said, Nims, ride on, do it. So you had different opinions of the same issue, and that's the challenge, because many young people are going to want opportunities, but there are going to be some in organizations that will say, no, don't employ them. Well, I chose to make that decision with Winston. And I employed him. I gave day release from prison. He'd come into my office, work, go back to prison once a week. Then from once a week, it became a bit longer, twice a week. Then when he fully came out, we employed him there. And then he became we appointed him as a manager. And guess what Winston started doing? He started employing young ex-offenders into our organization. Now, that never got out there. Nobody's going to say Winston Silcott employs ex-offenders in the Peace Alliance, because that's not good news. And that's what we've got to fight against. The media will give a perception that will always be negative. Because you know what? I was speaking to an editor of a newspaper, and I said, why do you always go with negative news? What's this thing? He said, you know, good news doesn't sell. And so you're really up against, you know, the young people spoke about the opportunities they need, but the media is going to slam dunk them. The idea of giving them positive opportunities is not going to be celebrated. Now, I'm not saying all media, but a lot of media. And according to an editor, he said, once we put good news on the front of our paper, guess what happened? Our sales dropped. And so as a result of that, and then I asked another TV broadcaster and mainstream TV, terrestrial TV, we were at a conference, and I said, what about the moral conscience, the moral fiber? The moral compass of the media? He said, the media don't have a moral compass. Our responsibility, he said, this in a national conference in Birmingham. You don't need to find out when, so you'll know who he is. But he said this. He said, our responsibility, we're a commercial organization. We make money. So here's the deal. We have a responsibility to make young people believe that they can make it. Many years ago, as a journalist, I had the privilege of interviewing George Foreman in his boxing days. And I said, George, he was in London in a certain hotel. We were having breakfast together. So I said, George, if you have a message for young people in the UK, what will your message be? And he said, if they wake up in the morning and they don't have a dream, they should go back to sleep. He said, if they wake up in the morning and they don't have a dream, they should go back to sleep. So for me, the whole deal has been, how do we ensure that our young people don't lose their dreams? Because nobody is born a criminal. No child is born a criminal. You may be born in unfortunate circumstances, but you're not born a criminal. And one thing that should never be taken from you, Jesse Jackson said this, is your dream. No government, no legislation, nothing should take away your dream. And we've got to empower those young people who might have offended. I love that young lad who said, failure is an event. Because, you know, what we've got to do is make them understand that their dreams are still powerful. We recently moved over to the Tottenham. And by the way, I'm from Tottenham, just in case you haven't figured that out. We moved over to Tottenham Town Hall. My organization moved in there, and we called it the Dream Center. The reason we call it the Dream Center is from an acronym, DREAM, Developing Real Examples and Mentors. Because we believe that every young person has a right to dream. And we believe that our responsibility as a community is to give them that right. And there'll be some, and that's what you've done over the years. Try to empower them. In some cases, it's been a job for some of you. But in some cases, it's been more than just a job. Because it's not about the 9 to 5, because you know that the support is not 9 to 5. And, you know, the support is at 3 o'clock in the morning. And that's what I've found. Those who are passionate about supporting young people don't really care the time and don't really care what they get paid. Because young people have said to me, when they know somebody's working for them just because of the pay, it doesn't sit well with them. But if they know you care, because you see, there's a 5-point process I talk about in peace in any community. P is about parenting that's proper. Whatever that may be. E is about education that's effective. A is about achievements that are celebrated. C is about communities that are mobilized. And E is about enterprise that's sustainable. The smart ones already will figure out that spells peace. But you see, when I was in Feltham recently and I spoke to some young folks and I said, where did you fall off the steps? Because I drew up 5 steps. P, parenting. E, education. Achievements. Nobody celebrated them. Some of them said, I fell off all those steps. Mom and dad weren't there for me. Education, school failed me. Achievements. Nobody ever said I was anything. How many of you remember those days? You came up with a wretched little scratch. And you went, Mommy, Mommy, look at this, look at this. And they go, oh my, that's amazing. But they know it's trash. Oh, how many of you ever did that? Even your kid came with a little scratch, you know? Look at what I did, look at what I did, look at what I did. And you go, wow, you did that all on your own? Yes, yes. oh my gosh, so tell me what. And that's the head, and that head certainly does not look like a head. You go, right? Yeah, yeah, I get that, I get that. And then that's the, those are the wings. Yeah, great, good. And the child goes away and says, can I put it on your wall? Even if it means putting a hole in the walls. Yeah, you can do. You know, we make that child feel so obedient. But you know, many children never grew up with that. They never had anybody to say, well done. And so we started a program, an organization called Young Peace Champions, where we just took in young people who were NEETs, not in education employment training. And as a result of that, we just started celebrating them, no matter how small it was. And do you know what some of the young people said? We've never had this before. Nobody, our parents didn't celebrate us. Teachers didn't celebrate us. So people need celebration. And let's face it, you woke up this morning, and if nobody, come on, face it. If someone says, wow, I like your hairdo. Ladies, I like your hair. You know, and some of the, you know, I tease when I talk about this to some ladies in my church. I say, you know, I like your hair. Then another says, where did you get it from? That's a joke. Some of you are going to miss that. Some of you will get it. Some of you will just, you know. But you know, we like people celebrating what we've got. The truth is, every young person you look after wants to be celebrated. And all these young people, one of the young lads I'm supporting has been shot at 3 times, stabbed 2 times. But now he's working in PricewaterhouseCoopers, doing some work in embankment. Right now, we got him a job. I've got 4 of our Young Peace Champions jobs at PwC, working with a furniture company there. What we've sought to do is give them opportunities. I was in the Mount prison, and we're talking with Tesco's. Because Tesco's are looking at what they can do to give offenders opportunities, ex-offenders opportunities. I was in the meeting with David Cameron before he became prime minister, and I keep reminding him of it. And I said something to David. I said, you know, this notion of ex-offenders doesn't seem to sit well with me. Because it's like, you carry that for the rest of your life. I was an ex-offender. I was an ex, you know, that doesn't sit well with me. You know, do you always want to be the ex-boyfriend of the ex-husband? You know, do you get what? One day you want that ex to rub off? So why do we leave offenders with that ex word forever? And you know what David said? He said he agrees. That was the prime minister. He said we've got to look for something else in order to give them opportunities. So here has to be our task. What do we give those young people who deserve a better future, even though they might have messed up in the past? We've got to give them a dream. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to wrap up. I left, who's got 10 pounds? I'll give you back later. Just 10 pounds. I mean, especially after I spoke, you know, entitled to some money. 10 pounds. I prefer 10 because if I do whatever I do with it, I have 10 pounds in my purse and I can give it back to you and you're not going to feel I insulted your money. I picked this up many years ago when I was in Jamaica. It was actually a 50-pound note I had, and it wasn't drug money. And I was going to, and I say that because I was actually visiting young ladies who were mules at the time. And I said, hey, what's this? Because I just went into the prison, and I just spoke to them about some of the challenges of their past. I said, what's this? They said, a 50-pound note. And I went like that. And not only did I do that, I also went like this. And I crushed it. I told you, you might want mine. And I crushed it. And some of them was, disrespect, this. You know, they felt I was disrespecting the money. They were in shock because I stepped on it, crushed it. They were looking. Many of us, if we saw this right now, just walking by, without seeing the original beginnings of it, you'd walk past it. Come on. Because you'll think that's trash on the floor. It's been crushed and stepped on. You'd not look. What is it? You'd never look at that because it looks so trashy. Because you went there at the beginning when it was a crispy, nice 10-pound note. And I said, this is what represents many of our lives and many of the young people in our youth justice system, in our prisons, Because we went there at the beginning and we pick up on them when they're crushed. We pick up on them when they're stepped over. We pick up on them when something's gone totally wrong. It's quite difficult to see the value within. We don't understand that they weren't born this way. And our responsibility coming out of this conference has to be that we empower them with that sense of self-belief. We empower them with that sense of self-confidence. We empower them with that sense of self-awareness. We make them come to that place of self-discovery. Because you see, the truth is, if young people don't ultimately get to that place when they say, I can, and we help them to say, do you know what? You might have been crushed, but we're here, we're standing with you, and we believe in you. And we're going to help you dream again. You see, because if you dream alone, sometimes it's just a dream. But when you dream with others, it becomes reality because people begin to help you dream and believe in something bigger. I want to say to those of you who are left, the remnant behind, let's empower young people and empower ourselves. For the days ahead, difficult as they may be, doesn't always take money to make a difference. It just takes a desire and a passion to change your world because vision always begets provision. Keep believing, keep doing, and thank you very much for what you do.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.